and hair brushes gently across my cheek. Those daydreams that I occupied myself with back when I was being held prisoner, a lot of them featured a scene just like this one. "Sam," Six whispers, stunned, holding on to me like I might disappear. "You're here." I squeeze her tighter in response. We hold on to each other for longer than is probably appropriate with everyone else around. Next to me, I hear my dad clear his throat. "Hey, Six, why don't you let someone else have a turn?" It's Sarah, sidling up next to us. Six lets me go, suddenly looking sheepish. I'm not sure I can remember seeing her tough exterior crack that much. I feel a blush creeping up my own cheeks. I'm glad it's dark out here. "Hi, Sam," Sarah says, hugging me too. "Hey," I reply. "Fancy meeting you here. It's a long way from paradise." "No kidding," Sarah replies. Over Sarah's shoulder, I watch John jog over to us. He's joined by a stocky brown-haired guy, who I assume is the number 5 who posted that message online. It's what brought Dad and me to Arkansas, his internet scanning program having picked up the news story. We drove nonstop from Texas to make it here in time for the end of the battle. While 5 lingers at the back of the group, looking nervous to be meeting so many new people, John strides right towards me. A grin splits my face. It's more than just being united with my best friend. It's the feeling that we're going to be part of something great together. We're going to save the world. John grins back at me, clearly excited that I'm here. Yet there's something else in his eyes that I can't really decipher. He clasps my hand tightly. "Just answer me one question," John says abruptly, not letting go of my hand. "Do you remember that day in your room when you first thought I might be an alien?"
Yeah.
"What did you do?" I squint at John, not really sure why he's asking me this. I glance back at my dad, who was watching this exchange curiously, waiting for me to introduce him to the Lorik. "I pulled a gun on you. Is that what you mean?"
"Oh, Samuel," my dad mutters reproachfully. But John grins at my response. Immediately, he pulls me into a hug.
"Sorry about that, Sam. I just had to make sure you weren't Cetricus Ra in disguise," John explains. "You have no idea how good it is to see you."
"Same here," I reply. "I've really missed having to fight giant worm creatures."
John chuckles, taking a step back from me. Five tentatively raises his hand, stepping forward.
"I'm lost. Cetricus Ra can shapeshift?"
That's news to me, too. I find myself subconsciously touching the burns on my wrists. I know firsthand the kind of evil Cetricus Ra is capable of.
"How do you know that? Did you go up against him?"
John nods, solemnly, glancing in Five's direction.
"Yeah, I'd call it a draw. I'll bring you both up to speed, but first..."
John's gaze moves to my dad.
"Sam, is this who I think it is?"
My smile grows again. It feels like I've been waiting years to introduce my friends to my dad.
"Guys," I say, pride in my voice, "this is my father, Malcolm. I can confirm that he's definitely not Cetricus Ra either, if you're worried about that."
My dad steps forward, shaking hands with each of the guard and Sarah.
"Thanks for the help out there," John says, motioning to my dad's rifle. "Glad you brought some hardware."
"Looked like you had it under control," my dad tells John. "I've just wanted to shoot something Mogadorian for a very long time."
"Under control," chuckles Six, shaking her head. "Looked to me like you were about to get swallowed, John."
"So it wasn't my best plan," John shrugs, smiling.
Sarah pats him on the back, encouragingly. Five is studying my dad and me.
"You're not Lorik," he says, matter-of-factly, like he's just put it together.
"I thought for sure you must be a Saipan, being so old and all."
My dad chuckles. "Sorry to disappoint. Just an old human, hoping to help."
Five turns to look at John, nodding. "You've got a real army here." Six and I exchange a look.
I'm not really sure if this new guy is being sarcastic or if he's really just kind of dense. Judging by her face, Six isn't sure either.
There's the six of us here and four waiting for us back in Chicago, John says patiently. I don't think 10 people really qualifies us for Army status. But thanks.
I guess not, mumbles Five.
I want to hear everything about how you guys found each other, John says.
He looks at my dad almost cautiously, like he just knocked on our family's door and asked if I could come out and play Alien Invasion.
First, Mr. Good, I just want you to know that I never meant for Sam to get wrapped up in all this. I'm sorry I've put him in danger, but I don't think we would have made it this far without him.
Definitely not, Six agrees, smiling at me. I look away, feeling a blush creeping up my cheeks. My dad looks touched.
Putting ourselves in danger for the safety of Earth is a good family tradition. But thank you for saying that.
He rests a hand on my shoulder.
I'm glad you found each other. And drop the mister. Malcolm will do just fine.
There are sirens nearby, drawing closer. We might be in a rural part of Arkansas, but the local authorities would definitely notice a spaceship crashing out of the sky. They'll be here soon. We should get moving, Six says. John nods, already starting to run towards the trees.
Our car is parked out by the highway.
I'll ride with Sam and Malcolm, Six says, and show them the way.
John, Sarah, and Five head off towards the highway. Meanwhile, as flashing lights begin crawling through Falk, my dad and I, along with Six, make for the Rambler. While my dad climbs into the driver's seat, Six touches my arm.
I'm sorry if I, embarrassed you before with that hug. In front of your dad and all, I hope that wasn't weird.
No way, I say, hurriedly, wanting Six to know that hug was about the best thing that's happened to me in a long time.
That was really nice.
Don't get used to me being all emotional, Six says, giving me a look. I think she's teasing me.
You showing up just caught me off guard.
So you're saying I'd have to disappear again to get another hug?
Exactly, Six replies, and then starts to get into the back seat.
She hesitates, thinking something over for a moment, and then suddenly hugs me again.
Okay, one more.
I hold Six close as my dad starts the car. His face is lit up by the car's instrument panel, and even though he's pretending not to, I can tell he's watching us. If I had my way, I'd never let her go. We'd keep right on hugging until the local cops came to arrest us. Six breaks away from me, looking into my eyes. I try to keep my expression cool and collected, but that's probably not working.
For the record, she says, I never thought you were Cetricus Ra. I knew you right away.
Thanks, I reply lamely, scrambling for something better to say, like how I missed her, or how amazing it is to see her now. Before I can come up with anything, Six has gotten into the back seat. She's just buckling her seatbelt when Five clears his throat.
He says. What was that stone thing you threw at me?
We all turn to stare at him.
The Zitharis stone, you mean?
Six asks.
Yeah, Five says. That. I kind of, dropped it.
Chapter 15.
Wow, Johnny. I send you out for reinforcements and you come back with an old man, a nerd, and this little hobbit guy.
Great job. Nine is there to sarcastically greet our group as soon as we enter the foyer of his ridiculous Chicago penthouse. So, my first impression of him during our brief meeting in West Virginia wasn't off after all. He really is a douchebag. We're back later than anyone thought we would be. We searched for the Zitharis stone, but it was gone, and we couldn't stick around any longer than necessary. And while no one seems very happy about it, it's like they're trying not to blame Five for losing it. For now, at least. After it was clear it was gone, after Five had apologized for the 100th time, Six just tossed her hair and shrugged.
It's a rock, she said, sounding like she was trying to convince herself. A powerful rock,
but we're pretty powerful on our own. Still, it's clear that it hasn't endeared Five to anyone, especially Nine. Be nice, Sarah warns him. Clearly the others have gotten used to his not-so-witty banter. By the way he and John slap hands in greeting, I'd say they've even become friends. Five, though, seems wounded. Next to me, he subtly tries to suck in his belly. Hobbit guy, he repeats, under his breath. It's from a book, I start to explain, but he cuts me off. I get the reference, Five says. It isn't very nice. That's Nine, says John, overhearing. He'll grow on you. Or, well, you'll get used to him. Five gives me a deadpan look like he doubts it, and I can't help smiling in return. I think we're both feeling a bit like outsiders in this penthouse. Six tried to catch me up the best she could on the ride back, but there are a lot of new faces and stories here in Chicago. Not to mention the most surreal hideout in history. I still can't believe the guard are living in a place like this. It's the kind of lavish pad they used to tour on that MTV show, the one about rich celebrities and their jealousy-inducing lifestyles. How Nine and his Seipan managed to put together a place like this and keep it off the Mogadorian radar to boot is pretty impressive. John introduces everyone to Nine, who has stopped cracking lame jokes long enough to meet Five and my dad. And you remember Sam, right? John finishes. Obviously, Nine says, striding forward to shake my hand. His grip is rough, and he towers over me so that I have to crane my neck up. He lowers his voice, not wanting the others to hear. Seriously, bro. Sorry about leaving you in the cave. That was sort of my fault. It's cool, I reply, a bit taken aback by the apology. Nine turns my hand over before letting me go, noticing the fresh pink scars on my wrists. So they put you through it, huh? He asks, solemnly. By his tone, it's like he's just realizing we have something in common. I guess I've joined the secret fraternity of Mogadorian torture victims. I don't know what to say. I just nod my head. You made it out, Nine says, patting me hard on the shoulder. Good for you, bro. John starts to lead us by Nine, who's basically been standing right in our way. He sort of reminds me of one of those big dogs that jump all over visitors as soon as they come in the door. When he finally steps aside, I notice the three other guard that Six told us about. 7, 8, and the younger, 10. They're waiting where the living room starts. A little more patient than Nine, at least letting us get inside. If you're wondering what the horrible smell is, it's the vegetarian food Marina's cooking for dinner, says Nine. Hey! The dark-haired 7, Marina, replies good-naturedly. It'll be good, I promise. Dinner, Nine snorts. Whatever. Who cares? We've got the whole team together. They're pudgier and dorkier than expected, but I'm cool with it. Let's go blow some shit up. You need to calm down, dude. We've been driving for like 12 hours, Six tells Nine, shoving a bag of equipment into his chest. Here, make yourself useful. Sarah quickly follows suit, tossing her bag to Nine. Before long, he's shouldering pretty much all the stuff we carried up from the cars. Fine, I'll put this stuff away, Nine says, as he agreeably lumbers off to put away our gear. But then we're gonna at least talk about kicking some ass. I notice Five staring down Nine as he leaves the room. And then he turns to John. We're not really gonna fight again right away, are we? John shakes his head. Nine's just excited. Getting together was a huge first step. Now we need to figure out what to do next. I see, says Five, gazing down at his hands. I guess I've never viewed violence as something to get excited about. We're not all like Nine, Marina says apologetically as she steps forward. She greets us warmly, even pulling Five into a hug, which I think both surprises him and loosens him up a bit. She definitely puts me more at ease after Nine's brusque display. Eight introduces himself next. I get a real easygoing vibe from him. A nice change of pace from the alpha male routine Nine pulled as soon as we showed up. Still, I can tell he's just as excited as Nine was. He's just more tactful.
I've got so many questions for you, all of you, 8 says.
5, I'm dying to know where you've been, to hear about everything that's happened to you.
Grunts 5.
Okay. I'm sure you've overcome a lot to be here,
8 continues encouragingly.
The grunting is all John and I could get out of him in the car, Sarah whispers to me.
I can understand feeling a bit overwhelmed in this situation. You meet the last living remnants of your people for the first time, and it turns out they've already been hanging out a bunch. In a way, it's nice to have 5 with me, even though we're not talking much either. It's good to have someone equally awkward along in these social situations.
You were living in Jamaica before, right? 8 asks 5.
That's right, 5 replies. For a little while, anyway. 8 looks like he's expecting 5 to elaborate. When he doesn't, John jumps in.
It was a long ride back, and I think everyone is a little tired. Maybe we can share stories at dinner?
John suggests. 8 nods, and doesn't press 5 for any more details. I get that John is trying to handle 5 with kid gloves, letting him acclimate to the others at his own speed. I am a little surprised 5 isn't asking more questions about the others, but part of that seems to be a reluctance to answer any questions about his own past. Judging by the fact that he showed up without a sapon or a chest, I'm sure it's the kind of grim backstory all these guard have. With 8 done trying to wring information from 5, the last of the new guard is able to step forward and introduce herself. Even though 6 told me she'd be younger, I'm still surprised at how small Ella is in person. I can't imagine this girl stepping up to oppose Cedric as Ra, much less somehow being the key to scaring him off. But that's the way 6 said it went. I'm impressed.
I didn't know there was supposed to be a 10th guard, says 5 as he shakes Ella's hand. It's the closest thing he's had to a question about the others since we walked in.
There wasn't. I was sort of an accident.
I notice John shoot Marina a curious look. Marina raises her eyebrows in response, mouthing, "I'll tell you later." 5 nods at Ella's response, studying her for a moment longer, before looking down at the floor.
Huh, 5 says, searching for words. I've kind of felt that way about myself, actually. Our numbers, our inheritances, whole mission to Earth. I mean, how much thought did the big elders put into this whole thing? Do you think they just, like, drew our names out of a hat?
Everyone is silent for a moment, staring at 5. It's a pretty strange speech, especially when you consider this is the first time the remaining guard have ever been united. It should be a celebratory time, but 5 seems intent on bringing things down.
Yeah, says 8, cheerily breaking the silence.
It is kind of funny when you put it like that.
My dad clears his throat, his voice soft.
I can assure you more thought was put into your selection than just a random drawing.
He turns to Ella, giving her the same reassuring look I used to get when I'd come home from school after being bullied.
And your escape from Lorien was certainly more than an accident. More like a blessing, I'd say.
Right, says 5,
still staring at the floor as he addresses my dad. I guess the old human would be an expert on Lorien. He glances up then, forcing a smile as he notices the rest of us fixing him with weird looks.
Sorry, he adds quickly. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know what I'm talking about either.
I don't consider myself an expert, my dad says, diplomatically. I'm sorry if I offended you, but I believe in the work of your elders. If I didn't,
he trails off, probably thinking about the time he's spent as a Mogadorian captive. 5 looks sheepish now.
4, John, I'm pretty tired. Is there a place where I can lay down for a while?
Sure, man, John replies, patting 5 on the back. Why don't I show all you guys where the rooms are?
A few minutes ago, I empathized with 5 for what an awkward situation this must be for him. But I don't know. Something about the way he talked to my dad really rubbed me the wrong way. There was almost a note of disdain in his voice, like my father couldn't possibly have any useful information about the guard.
The whole group,